It's Nikki Strong, and this is VOA One of the Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Brian Lynn.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. Coming up, Andrew Smith presents Ask a Teacher. We also have Words and Their Stories from Anna Mateo. And we close the show with an American story. But first,
a popular rapper in Puerto Rico has kept his job as a doctor to help deal with a shortage of medical workers in the United States territory. Many Puerto Ricans know Dr. Pedro Juan Vasquez by his performing name, PJ Sinzuela. But others are now getting to see his medical skills as he often goes door to door to serve patients. The 34-year-old Vasquez recently told the Associated Press, AP, he is still living out his love of music. He also believes he is helping those in need and bringing attention to a health crisis in Puerto Rico. The U.S. territory is currently facing power outages as well as a shortage of medical professionals. Many doctors and other workers have gone to the U.S. mainland seeking better pay. A 2023 report by Puerto Rican policy group Center for a New Economy found the territory had lost more than 8,600 doctors out of nearly 18,800 in just over 10 years. The problem is expected to get worse in the coming years. We have a huge exodus of young people, Vasquez told the AP. He added, in Puerto Rico, we have a crisis much bigger than people think. Vasquez said he travels from the capital, San Juan, to rural areas of the island at least once a week. During these trips, he seeks to treat communities struggling from the combined effects of hurricanes, earthquakes, and a weak economy. When not working as a doctor, Vasquez produces and performs music that brings attention to issues including social inequality, poverty, and gun violence. In one song, he brings up the territory's problems with violence. A bullet is flying, lost like a child, he raps. The wind caresses it, seeks to make news falling into a skull without any kind of justice. The rap song, in English, is called Bullet's Cry. In another song, called We Are More, Vasquez comments on the territory's economic problems. He raps, the debt has been placed before the worker, the one who goes outside under the rain and the sun, public servers, teachers, and nurses. Vasquez has left and returned to the island several times. This is common for many Puerto Ricans who hold U.S. passports. He does not criticize those who have left Puerto Rico for the U.S. mainland. You can't judge anybody. Everybody has their story, he said. I'm blessed to have two careers that I can do and live off of. Vasquez was born in the Bronx area of New York City, but he moved with his family to the town of Ponce, Puerto Rico. Later, he went to Pennsylvania before returning to Bayamón, Puerto Rico. It was there that Vasquez studied medicine. He became a doctor in 2015. He became a household name as a rapper for a younger generation in Latin America in 2018. The single that made Vasquez a star was called What Is Your Plan? He worked with Puerto Rican musician Bad Bunny and reggaeton singer Nejo on the song. When the COVID-19 pandemic hit in 2020, he decided to start working in medicine again. Vasquez worked full-time at a hospital in Ponce for a year. Then, as a general doctor, he treated patients of all ages. Vasquez noted that some doctors questioned his medical abilities at first, since he had spent years performing as a rapper. But after a short time, he said, "Everybody knew that this wasn't a joke for me, and that I'm really good at what I do." I'm Brian Lynn.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Nora about how to describe food that is no longer safe to eat. Dear teacher, would you please tell us the words we use to describe spoiled food? Now, I use only one or two words for all of food types, such as rotten or spoiled. However, in my native language, we use different words for different categories like spoiled vegetables, bread, beverages, and meat dishes. I wonder if it is the same in English too. Thank you for writing to us, Nora. I'm happy to answer this question. Let's begin with the two words you mention, rotten and spoiled. We can use both words to talk about food in general. So, we can say either of the following.
That food is rotten. That food is spoiled.
But for some foods, we use rotten much more than we use spoiled. For example, we can say rotten eggs, rotten tomatoes, rotten apples, rotten vegetables, rotten fruit, and so on. The most common usage of rotten is with eggs. We use spoiled mostly when talking about meat or milk. Another general term for spoiled food or drink is the expression gone bad. Now, let's look at some other terms we use with certain foods and drinks. Rancid describes foods that contain fats that have started to go bad. These typically include nuts, seeds, and oils. Fish, meat, and poultry can also become rancid. We use the word stale to describe bread that has become hard and difficult to eat. And wilted describes lettuce or other greens that are no longer fresh. Mold is a kind of very small fungus. It makes food go bad and can be found on fruit, bread, and cheese. The adjective we use for mold is moldy. we use the adjective sour or the expression to go sour to describe milk or cream that has started to spoil. Note that there is also a food called sour cream, which is safe to eat and quite tasty. As you can see, a meal with rancid, stale, sour, wilted, moldy, rotten, and spoiled food is one to avoid. For our readers and listeners, do you have a question about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Andrew Smith.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. On this program, we explore words and expressions in the English language. We give you definitions, examples, and notes on usage. Today, we talk about a word with an unusual history. Whammy. A whammy can be a magical spell that brings bad luck. It can also be an attack or a damaging, destructive blow. A blow is an incident or event that hits you hard. So one whammy is bad. But what happens when you have two? That is called a double whammy. People traditionally say they have been hit with a double whammy. The online dictionary, Merriam-Webster, defines a double whammy as a combination of two usually unfavorable forces, circumstances, or effects. Two bad things happen at the same time to make something really unpleasant or difficult. It can also mean that two bad things happen consecutively, or one after the other. The origin of the expression is unclear. Some guess it comes from taking the word wham, which describes a hard punch or blow, and adding a Y ending, which makes it sound funny. Others say the cartoonist, Al Capp, popularized the word whammy in his 1950s comic strip, Little Abner. A character named Evil Eye Flegel could stop someone by simply looking at them. The single whammy was a look with one eye, and the feared double whammy used both eyes. Now let's listen to the expression used in a sentence.
Today my friend Jonah lost his job, and then on the way home he fell and broke his leg. Talk about a double whammy. It has not been his best day.
Here is another example of the expression double whammy.
On their 3-hour hiking trip, the friends were hit with a double whammy. The first was a bad rainstorm. They were forced to take shelter in a cave. Then they realized the second bad thing. They left all their food and water in the car.
There is another English expression that has a similar meaning, a 1-2 punch. The first punch is a difficult blow to take, but then the second one aims to finish the job. The expression comes from boxing, where one punch is quickly followed by another from the other fist, or closed hand. A boxer using a 1-2 punch is trying to knock out their opponent, or to score points. Both double whammy and 1-2 punch are informal expressions. 1-2 punch might be less popular than it once was, but double whammy appears in some surprising places in both American and British English. And that's Words in Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo.
The program American Stories. Today we continue Benito Sereno by Herman Melville.
Last week we told how African slaves on a Spanish ship rebelled in 1799. They killed most of the Spanish sailors. Only the captain, Benito Sereno, and a few others were left alive. The leader of the rebellion was a slave named Babo. He ordered Captain Sereno to sail the ship back to Senegal, the slaves' homeland. But food and water were low, so the ship stopped at an island off the coast of Chile to get the needed supplies. When it arrived, an American ship was in the harbor. The American captain, Amasa Delano, thought the Spanish ship might be in trouble. He would offer help. Babo decided to remain close to Captain Sereno and act as if he were the captain's slave. Babo would kill him if he told Captain Delano the truth about what happened. Now, here is Shep O'Neill to continue our story.
As Captain Delano came up in his whaleboat, he saw that the other ship needed scraping, tarring, and brushing. It looked old and decayed. He climbed up the side and came aboard. He was quickly surrounded by a crowd of black men. Captain Delano looked around for the man who commanded the ship. The Spanish captain stood a little way off, against the main mast. He was young-looking, richly dressed, but seemed troubled and tired with the spirit gone out of him. He looked unhappily toward his American visitor. At the Spanish captain's side stood a small black man with a rough face. Captain Delano struggled forward through the crowd, went up to the Spaniard, and greeted him. He offered to help him in any way he could. Captain Benito Sereno returned the American's greeting politely, but without warmth. Captain Delano pushed his way back through the crowd to the gangway. He told his men to go and bring back as much water as they could, also bread, pumpkins, sugar, and a dozen of his private bottles of cider. The whaleboat pushed off. Left alone, Captain Delano again observed with fresh surprise the general disorder aboard the ship. Some of the men were fighting. There were no deck officers to discipline or control the violent ones, and everyone seemed to do as he pleased. Captain Delano could not fully understand how this could have happened. What could explain such a breakdown of order and responsibility? He asked Don Benito to give him the full story of his ship's misfortunes. Don Benito did not answer. He just kept looking at his American visitor as if he heard nothing. This angered Captain Deladon, who suddenly turned away and walked forward to one of the Spanish seamen for his answer. But he had hardly gone 5 steps when Don Benito called him back. "It is now 190 days," Don Benito began, "that the ship sailed from Buenos Aires for Lima with a general cargo, pedigree, tea, and the like, and a number of Negroes, now not more than 150, as you see, but then numbering over 300 souls. The ship was officered and well manned, with several cabin passengers, some 50 Spaniards in all. Off Cape Horn we had heavy gales." Captain Sereno coughed suddenly and almost collapsed. He fell heavily against his body servant. "His mind wanders," said Babo. "He was thinking of the disease that followed the gales, my poor, poor master. Be patient, senor. These attacks do not last long. Master will soon be himself." Don Benito recovered, and in a broken voice continued his story. "My ship was tossed about many days in storms off Cape Horn, and then there was an outbreak of scurvy. The disease carried off many whites and blacks. Most of my surviving seamen had become so sick that they could not handle the sails well. For days and nights we could not control the ship. It was blown northwestward. The wind suddenly left us in unknown waters with oppressive hot calms. Most of our water was gone, and we suffered terribly, especially after a deadly fever broke out among us. Whole families of blacks and many Spaniards, including every officer but myself, were killed by the disease." Don Benito paused. He looked down at the black man at his side. Babo seemed satisfied. The Spanish captain saw him take his hand from the knife hidden under his shirt. Captain Delano saw nothing. His mind was filled with the terrible tale he had just heard. Now he could understand why the other captain seemed so shaken. He took Don Benito's hand and promised to give him all the help possible. He would give him a large, permanent supply of water and some sails and equipment for sailing the ship. And he also promised to let Don Benito have 3 of his best seamen for temporary deck officers. In this way, the San Dominique could, without delay, start for Concepcion. There, the ship could be fixed and prepared for its voyage to Lima. Don Benito's face lighted up. He seemed excited by Captain Delano's generous offer. But Babo appeared troubled. "This excitement is bad for master," Babo whispered, taking Don Benito's arm and with soothing words gently drawing him aside. When Don Benito returned, Captain Delano observed that his excitement was gone. Captain Delano decided to talk of other matters, but the Spanish captain showed no further interest. He answered Captain Delano's questions with sharp words, and suddenly, with an angry movement, he walked back to Babo. Captain Delano watched the two men whispering together in low voices. It made an ugly picture, which Captain Delano found so extremely unpleasant that he turned his face to the other side of the ship. Their actions made Delano suspicious of Captain Sereno. He began to wonder about him, his behavior, his coughing attacks, his weakness, his empty, wild looks. Was he really half mad, or a faker playing a part? One moment Captain Delano had the worst suspicions of Don Benito, but the next he felt guilty and ashamed of himself for having such doubts about the man. Presently, Don Benito moved back toward his guest, still supported by his servant. His pale face twitched. He seemed more nervous than usual, and there was a strange tone in his husky whisper as he spoke. "May I ask how many men you have on board, senor?" Captain Delano became uneasy, but answered, "About 25 all total." "And at present, senor, all on board?" "All on board," Captain Delano answered. "And will be tonight, senor?" At this last question, Captain Delano looked very seriously at Don Benito, who could not return the look, but dropped his eyes to the deck. Captain Delano could think of only one reason for such a question, but no, it was foolish to think that these weak and starving men could have any idea of seizing his ship. But still, he remained silent. "And will they be aboard tonight?" Again, the question from Don Benito. Captain Delano decided to answer truthfully. Some of his men had talked of going off on a fishing party about midnight, and he told Don Benito this. As he answered, Captain Delano again looked straight at Don Benito, but the Spanish captain refused to meet his eyes. Then, as before, he suddenly withdrew with his servant, and again the two men began whispering to each other in low voices. Captain Delano tried to push the worry from his mind, but what were those two strange men discussing? That will be our story next week.
That's all the time we have for today's show, but join us again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program. Thanks for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Brian Lynn.